Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas to you. It's wonderful to see you here today, December 19th. Yes, Christmas is right around the corner. What we've been doing at Genesis this Christmas time is taking a fresh look at the Christmas story. We always want to take a fresh look at this story. And what we've been doing is looking at individual characters in the Christmas story. And what we've been looking at is their response to God, their response to God's plan. That's what we've been looking at. And one thing that really typifies the responses that we've been seeing, a word, is worship. Their response to God and to His plan is worship. And when we think of worship, we can think of singing. Like, worship is singing, like, we're going to worship now, everybody stand up, meaning we're going to sing. But really, worship is way, way broader than that. It's way more than that. And we kind of looked at this, we've been looking at this, that worship, think about this with me, it's an appropriate response to the goodness and greatness of God. So it goes beyond just merely singing. The first week, it was all about have yourself a merry little Christmas. If you remember, you can go back and listen to these talks, but Mary was in a situation, her life was a mess, and instead of freaking out, she trusted, and she surrendered. That was her expression of worship. And then it was silent life, holy life. We looked at Joseph. He was not a man of many words. As a matter of fact, he's never quoted in the Bible. What is told about him is what he did. He heard God's word and then he went out and did it. And that was his expression of worship. Last week we looked at the shepherds. They were the first to tell. I promise I won't do that again this morning. They worshiped by proclaiming God, by proclaiming His plan as they were sent out. And today we're going to talk about this group of people called the Magi. And their response to God and His plan was, let it go, let it go, let it go. Worship, what we're going to see today, worship is letting go and making room for God. So glad you're here today. I think it's going to be helpful. In our world, we have lots of things. We have lots of material things. We have lots of things to do. Lots of attachments in our lives. And it's hard to let go. It's hard to let go of those things that are just all around us. It's easier to hold on. But what we're going to see today is that worship is holding on to the Lord, not holding on to the things of this world. So if you would stand with me, I'm going to read the passage. It's found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'm going to read it, and then you'll grab a seat, and we'll get going again. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where's the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is God's word. Please grab a seat. Who were they? Who were the Magi? Well, you could say they were the big dogs in the Christmas story. They were not poor. They were more middle, upper class type people, you could say. They had means. They had influence. It says that they came from the east. Many commentators believe they came from the Parthian Empire, which was roughly 400 to 500 miles away, kind of in the modern day Iran area. A great world power at the time. And it most likely took them a good month, month and a half to get there by camel, by caravan, entourage. So they rolled into Jerusalem and they caused quite a ruckus. Why? Why were they there? Well, this magi, this description here, this word, it refers to a group of scholars who studied the stars. They were astrologers. They studied the stars and how the celestial bodies influence human affairs. And somehow, some way, though, they were familiar with a prophecy from the first part of the Bible. We call it the Old Testament. There's a prophecy in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 24, where it talks about a star, and it talks about Judah, and it talks about a great leader. And somehow, some way, possibly during the Babylonian captivity, there were copies of the scripture, the Holy Scripture, in that area. And so you could say this, I kind of think it true, that they became scholars of the Bible. They became people that understood the Bible. So and the other thing we know about them is they gave great gifts. I mean, this wasn't Dollar General type gifts. I mean, this was Tiffany. This was Gucci. I mean, they rolled in with the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. I mean, you wanted the Magi to be your secret Santa. So how did they let go and make room for God? Well, here, I'm going to lay out kind of the roadmap here this morning. Number one, the Magi took a step forward. Number two, the Magi took a step aside. And then the Magi took a kneel down. I know that sounds funny. We'll get to it in a minute. First of all, the Magi took a step forward to pursue something greater than their path. They took a step forward to pursue something greater than their own agenda, their own way that they were going. Isn't it amazing how busy Christmas is? Is anybody here busy? Just raise your hand if you're busy. Yeah, I'm busy. I mean, presents, parties. What's the other P that I have here? You know, somebody help me out. What else are you doing? People. Yeah, there you go. All kinds of peas. Preparations. You know, they're there. And it's like it's busy. But really, Christmas is just, it's a microcosm of regular life, isn't it? We're all very busy. The Western world, people that live in our society, our culture, we're busy. We fill up our time with all kinds of things like work, extra work maybe, hobbies, social media, running from one thing to another. It's just like we kind of have this chemical thing going on in our body where we got to be busy. We got to be doing something. We got to have an agenda. We have to have a whole list of things to go. And I'm sure that the Magi, they were busy folks. I don't think that they were any maybe less busy than we may be over there in the Parthian Empire. They were in the elite class. And they, you know, they're willing, though, to go on a different path. They're willing to investigate something. Something intrigued them, this prophecy. And they were drawn in to what God was saying through His Word and about future stuff and what could be. They were not captive by their busyness, where they couldn't put their, you know, raise their head up and see maybe the bigger things that are going on in their life, maybe in the world. And so they took some time to investigate. They took some time to pursue a spiritual journey, to take a pilgrimage. They took a step forward. But here's interesting. What about the religious leaders in the story? You might remember Magi, they roll into town and everybody's kind of like, what is going on? you know, this big entourage is in town. And so they're asking, you know, hey, where's this baby, the king of the Jews? He's supposed to be born. And then Herod's just like, what? You know, and so he calls in the religious leaders, the chief priests. And he's like, hey, wake up. Where is this supposed to happen? And, you know, what's going on here? And they're like, well, you know, in Bethlehem of Judea, you know. And then they knew the scriptures. They pointed out Micah 5. That's the passage here. So they knew the right answers. They had the right information. But it really wasn't having any kind of effect on their lives. It wasn't sparking them to dig deeper. It wasn't sparking them to, you know, spiritually investigate. They were not pursuing. They were kind of holding back. They were keeping with the same old, same old. And, you know, I've seen this, like, I think this can happen probably in any field. I've seen it happen in ministry where pastors, like, they got a good church and, you know, things are going well. And, you know, don't rock the boat. You know, don't challenge anybody. Don't take a risk. Don't do anything different. Don't venture out. Because comfort is in their hands. And I just want to say this morning, maybe that's you. Maybe you're holding on to comfort. You're holding tightly onto kind of like these religious leaders that were just kind of like, huh, well, we're not going to really go check it out, but this is what the information says. Because you don't want anything disruptive into your life. Setting aside some of your ambitions, though, this is what the Magi did. They set aside some of their personal ambitions for a greater ambition. Is that you? Are you caught in a rut? You can change that by taking a step forward. Maybe that's why you're here this morning. That's why God has you here this morning, for you to consider pursuing your journey with God. Maybe that would just be researching a little bit more, taking some time, and aside from the other things that we can do, to investigate what the Bible says, what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. Maybe it just involved praying to Him, and the Scripture says, if you seek Him, you will find Him. Maybe we just need to chill on some other things, not hold on to some other pursuits, so that we can make room for God in our lives. Maybe it's just commit to the gathering. Come and worship together. Commit to a small group. So the Magi, they took a step forward. Let's look at the next one. They took a step aside. The Magi took a step aside, recognizing someone greater than them. The Magi took a step aside. I was at an open house this week, and, you know, I was there doing my thing, talking to people. You know, I had the hands going, and, oh, yeah, and this happened. And just out of the corner of my eye, I saw an older lady coming down the way, the hallway. And, you know, I knew I was in the way because I was kind of big, you know, talking about stuff, hitting people in the face, you know, like the Three Stooges, whoop, 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 you know, kind of a thing. But anyway, you know, and I just saw, oh, you know, I just realized I need to get out of the way. I need to make room for somebody else. I need to honor this older person who's kind of struggling to get through here. And so, you know, that's the picture that we have here. Okay? You know, they're coming to Jerusalem, the Magi. We saw a star, and we want to find Him so that we can worship Him. The Greek word proskune, and it literally means to fall down, to prostrate oneself before another. It's a very vivid picture of what worship is. Worship is putting someone else in the highest place. Not you. You taking a more humble position. And the Magi, they were saying, we want to step aside for Him. But then, of course, we have King Herod. And he, again, we go back to this. He's disturbed. And all Jerusalem with him. It's kind of like, you ever been on a plane and it's like, you're just looking forward to some shut-eye, maybe read a book, you know. And all of a sudden, you hit some turbulence. And it's just like, you're like doing this, and it's starting to mess with you a little bit. And you can't sleep, number one, and you can't read because it's all this turbulence. And that's the word here, this word disturbed, that Herod is sensing in all Jerusalem with him. It's turbulence. It's like, this isn't settled down. This is out of my control. And so emotional distress. We're a culture that suffers so much with mental anguish about things. COVID-19, the way the government's going. And what do we want to do? We want to control it. This is what Herod wanted to do. He wanted to control the situation. These words from the Magi, like the king of the Jews, as like a direct challenge to his reign. Herod didn't want to see that. He wanted to hold on to his power. And by the way, this is Herod the Great from history. In 37 BC, he was elected king of the Jews. He was not a Jew, but he was elected by the Roman Senate. And he was popular with some of the Jews. He had kind of a, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back kind of political philosophy. And so the elites really liked him. He renovated the temple. He built all kinds of fancy things. And that was just kind of how he rolled. The regular people didn't care for him. And beyond that, Herod was ruthless. If you crossed him, even if you were his wife, if you crossed him, even if you were his sons, he had you killed. Many different people were killed by Herod the Great. He was conniving. And we see that here in this whole story. The Magi at the end are warned not to go back to Herod, because Herod, he didn't want to worship the baby. He didn't want to worship the new king. He wanted to kill the new king. And so he had this order made in Bethlehem to kill all the babies under 2 years old. There's something in that. When you hold on to control, there's no room for God and his plan. When you hold on to control, not only is there no room for God to come in to that space because it's filled up, not only that, but it poisons you. It poisons you from the inside out. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've held on. You tried to control your kids. You tried to control a relationship. You tried to control different things in your life. And it's ruined relationships. It's ruined situations because of your control. The literal word for worship, again, it means to bow down. It means to step aside. It means to elevate someone else. And by the way, I just want to say, I think this has value today, this whole idea, this literal idea of bowing down, you know, getting down on your knees, bowing down. And it's something that I try to practice a couple of times, 2 to 3 times a week, is in my office, bowing down, because it reminds me that God is in the highest place and I'm under him. And I trust him. I trust his ways. I don't trust my ways. And it's one way that I can accept that I can't control everything and to give that back to God. The Magi had the right ordering. And they didn't have turmoil. They didn't have that mental distress. Are you struggling with mental distress today? Is that you? They didn't have that. They were overjoyed. They had peace and joy because they stepped aside. Let's go to this last idea here. The Magi took a kneel. Okay, I already kind of said that, but we were talking about this week, like to take a knee sounds like a football practice, right, or something like that. So they kneeled down, you know, we kind of went over that a little bit, but here's the point here. They did something to express their deep devotion to Christ. It wasn't just words. There was action. There was some kind of visible, observable action that they did. And sometimes we're just holding on tightly to things, and our action needs to be letting go, opening up our hands. Opening up our hands and making room for God. It's medicine to our souls. Let me give you some examples. Maybe you're holding on to time. It's so valuable to you. You know, it's what makes your heart tick, that you have, you know, your order of things that you do. And, you know, it's so important to you. The Magi here, they give us an example. They inconvenienced themselves for the one they were devoted to. Do you see how that's worship? They inconvenienced their agenda, their plan, for God's plan, for His direction, so that they could pursue a path greater. Pursuing a path greater than your path with God in the middle, that's worship. Maybe you're holding on to your abilities and your success. That's what you look to. That's what gives you your identity. It all depends on that to you. You've spent a lot of time working on your talent and working on preparing yourself for success. And there's nothing wrong with that, but when that's the main thing and you invest yourself so fully into that, there's no room for God. It's just you and your success. But when you invest your abilities into God, into His plans, into what He's doing, and you look at success as seeing God's plans accomplished, do you see how that's worship? I mean, that is putting God in the highest place. Here's another one. You may hold on to your money and possessions. You may hold on to your money like this, very tight. You hold on to your possessions. And if you do, there's no room for God. It's just that's what you have in your heart. And but we worship when we break loose what we're holding on to. When we break loose our hold on the treasures and the possessions that we have. When we honor God's plan above our treasures and possessions. You know, that's why, like, something like this, it's kind of a weird subject, but tithing. That's why tithing is like medicine to us. Because it helps us to open our hands, 10% of our income, giving away and not hoarding, not just using for ourselves. It's medicine. It helps us to open our hands, to create more room for God in our lives. The Magi, they brought their expensive treasures, and they placed it at the Lord's feet. What do you do with your treasure? What do you do with your possessions? You know, in many ways, we're like the Magi. As Americans, we have means. We have position. We're people of many opportunities, aren't we? We're not striving for our next meal. We're not trying to get enough clothes to wear so we'll be warm. I mean, there may be some of that in our world, in our country. But for the most part, we're people that have great means. And we grab onto many things. And the question that I want you to think about today is, what are you holding on to? Is it comfort? Is that the top thing that you have going down in your heart? Is it, control? Are you trying to control things? If you are, that may be your God, that you control things. I want to invite Zach up here right now. We're just going to take a few moments and kind of reflect and kind of open our hearts up to what God may be saying to us today. Because what we want to do is we want to, in this Christmas time and beyond, we want to make room for God. We want to make room for Him to come in and show us different things that we've never thought of before. And so we want to worship Him. We want to put Him in the highest place.